Blog Talk Radio.
And you are here today because anyone who ever bet against you was wrong. Because any obstacle that ever dared get in your way, no matter how invincible it may have seemed, it was defeated by your innate power to overcome. You are here today because you are powerful beyond measure. Stop denying yourself of this truth. Your greatest self has been waiting your entire life. Don't you dare make it wait any longer.
A Better Today welcomes you to Empowered Living, Life, the Truth, and Being Free with host, speaker, writer, and personal coach, Steve Maraboli. Steve and his expert guests take you on a quest for truth and highlight philosophies and strategies that help you release your greatest self. It's time to focus on your potential instead of your limitations. Here's your host, Steve Maraboli.
Hey, 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 welcome, welcome. You're listening to Empowered Living Life, the Truth, and Being Free. I'm your host, Steve Maraboli. You want to participate today is a feedback show, baby. Any topic, anything you want, keep the feedback coming. The way you participate is through AOL Instant Messenger. The screen name is ABT Radio Show. That's one word, ABT Radio Show. You could also participate through our website, empoweredlivingradio.com. That's empoweredlivingradio.com. Just send some feedback, send questions, whatever you want. This is your show. I'm going to guide myself based on your feedback, based on what you want to hear, what you want to ask. Again, AOL Instant Messenger, the screen name is ABT Radio Show, or through our website, empoweredlivingradio.com. That's empoweredlivingradio.com. First, I want to say hello to the Better Today community. Keep doing what you're doing. Never, ever forget the power of one. One kind gesture, one person at a time, one day at a time. Get out there and participate. Get out there and show people. We've become such philosophers. Let's show people with our actions what we stand for, what we mean, who we are. What we believe in. If you consider yourself a spiritual person, show them. If you consider yourself a religious person, show them. If you consider yourself a peaceful, green, environmental, whatever it is you consider yourself, just show them, please. If we just participate in each other's lives, what an impact they would have on all of us, regardless of whatever superstitions or religions or any other type of anything, even nonsense we believe in. As long as we're kind to each other, you'd be surprised at how many bridges are put up that bridge the gap between belief systems and ethnicities and social dogmas. You'd be surprised how many bridges are built between those that are simply acts of kindness. Kindness is kindness. I've been all over the world, and I've met all kinds of people, and kindness is a language I didn't have to translate. You know, you go to countries, and sometimes you don't speak their language. Sometimes you need help understanding what they're saying. Sometimes you need all kinds of stuff, and in this occasion, whenever you have kindness, it's not something that requires translating. So get out there and participate. Never forget that power of one. One kind gesture, one person at a time, one day at a time. We're going to make a difference. We got to make a difference in each of our lives, in each of our journeys. So let's do it. Any topic feedback show. Any topic, AOL Instant Messenger. So much feedback. Let's go with Jordana. Jordana's in Cleveland, Ohio, and Jordana says, "Steve, you're always asking others how their own ideas have changed, or even books, types of things, and TV shows they read, but you never really talk about it yourself. I was curious if I could take the gesture to ask you how you feel and how your life has changed and what kind of stuff you read and watch, etc. Thank you. Huge fan in Ohio. Super nervous that you're, if you take my question. Well, no need to be nervous because we're at the dinner table having a conversation. I actually do. I answer that every now and then. Actually, usually when I have this type of feedback show, I answer this kind of question. And yeah, I think that your ideas are always changing. That's why I usually ask my guests this type of question, or at least I kind of sort through between you and I. I know that that's what most people want to know, or at least some people. I'll always have that kind of feedback. So sometimes I'll either ask it myself, or I'll give a listener the credit for the question. But either way, it's something that's important to me, because I think that as we go through life, we change our ideas, we change our philosophies, we change our dogmas. Unless you're stuck in a dogma, some sort of religious or whatever type of fixed dogma, you usually change your opinion about things in life. And so I'm always curious to ask authors that thing, for one, to just know so that they can relate to other people, and number two, another secret thing between you and I, it's also a little bit of my BS detector. It's a little bit of my BS detector. I get a feel oftentimes the authors, our interaction on the radio is our first interaction. Occasionally, I might talk to an author. I mean, if they're not a friend of mine that come on the show regularly. But if it's a new person that's been on the show, occasionally I'll talk to them for a minute or so before. But other than that, I don't talk to them. So I get to know them on the show just like you get to know them. So that one is one I use a little bit as a BS detector, because if their answer goes back to a plug, you know, a talking point and a plug that says, you know, here I go, hey, so how is your, you know, idea of life or God or your own, our own purpose in this universe, how has that changed throughout the years? If they start the answer with, well, you know, as I realize we're all intergalactic oneness and it hasn't changed, or I outline it in my book, if that's their answer, then I know that this is, you know, it's going to be hard to get a real conversation with this person. But oftentimes, they will answer honestly, like you and I were answering, and say, you know what, I learned so much and I'm still learning, and I thought I knew this, but it turns out that life's a little more difficult than that. Life's a little more challenging than that. Those are the type of answers that I love hearing, because that's a real answer. I think all of us listening know that your belief systems change, and if they don't change, then your life's stresses accumulate. You know, your life stresses will accumulate. Imagine life is a flow, and life is a flow. Imagine life's a flow, and you put up some sort of a dam, you know, some sort of dam, and you stop that flow. Sometimes your belief system could be a dam that stops the flow, and that so much pressure builds up there that you've got to release a little bit and say, okay, well, where does this flow want to go? Why do I keep damming it over here when it's clearly this flow wants to go over there? If you don't release that dam a little bit and at least adjust your belief system a little bit, the only thing that accumulates is more pressure where you have that dam, that belief system, that where it's interrupting the flow. So if you're not adjusting your belief systems, if you're not adjusting the way you look at the world, if you're not learning things through your and applying it with your wisdom and your knowledge, then what you're doing is accumulating a lot of pressure. And somewhere in your life where the flow wants to go, but you're blocking it with your belief system, with your limiting belief system, in that place, you're going to feel that resistance. So the answer, I forgot your question for a second, but the answer is, yeah, I mean, I'm always adjusting my thoughts and idea system. I mean, when people talk to me about life, the truth, and being free, you hear me whenever I do bring it up, I'll say, look, I wrote most of that book. I was a kid. I was in my early 20s the first time it was published. So even from that book, some, not all, but some of my belief systems have changed, and I've adjusted and tweaked. And from, I started the show years ago, and even then some have tweaked. You learn. If you're not making adjustments to your agreement with reality, if you're not making adjustments to your belief system, then you're not learning. Well, life keeps happening, and you're not learning. You're not getting the message. So I don't like to fall into that category. So, yeah, I'll keep making adjustments, and I hope 10 years from now I've made more adjustments. I think that the biggest adjustment that I've made is that, and I'm sorry, I forgot your name. The biggest adjustment that I've made is that I have a more empowered version of spirituality, an empowered version, and a very human version of my spirituality. I think back then I was like most people, where I was trying to be more spiritual, trying to live a more spiritual life, and really analyzing what that meant to be more spiritual. And at this point in my life, I realize that I am spiritual. I'm a spiritual being having a human experience. I can't help but be spiritual. I was, you know, if you think about your life, even if you're alive 100 years, in the realm of eternity, you're not alive a whole lot longer than you are alive in that sense, in human form. So I already am spiritual. I was spiritual before I was here. I'll be spiritual after I leave here. So while I'm here, let me go ahead and understand and maximize this human experience. And I think in that way, my life has adjusted. As far as what I watch to keep me inspired, I'm a people watcher. It's two things that are vital for keeping me inspired. One is I people watch, and I like to pay attention to human behavior. I love that. I like to learn it on a scholastic level, an academic level. I love to learn it through university, through books, through textbooks, through conversations with people who are in the know in that field. And I also like to learn it through watching it and adapting my own common sense and ideas with it. Another thing that's important that keeps me inspired is I avoid drama. I avoid drama at all costs. At all costs, I avoid drama. That's what I do. I believe in creating an environment that's conducive to growth, and when I create that environment that's conducive to growth, I have to make some decisions, and some of those decisions are to stay away and avoid drama, because drama has never nourished anybody. It just poisons and depletes. But thank you so much for your feedback. Feedbacks at AOL Instant Messenger. The screen name is ABT Radio Show. That's one word, ABT Radio Show. Let's go with Pauline. Pauline is in Montreal, Canada, and Pauline writes, "Hey, Steve, you've done a great series of shows, and I'm curious if you ever think that you are being too hard sometimes on prayer or religious structure. I know you were raised in this way. Do you ever lament being too hard on it? Thank you so much." You know, no, actually. You know, it's kind of weird, Pauline, because some people might think that I'm too hard on religion, and other people might think I'm not hard enough on religion. And I try not to bash religion. Sometimes I succeed at that, and sometimes I don't. What I try to get away from is attacking the people, but I do speak my mind freely about the dogma. The history. I mean, history is history, the dogma. And the fact that sometimes the leadership of certain religions are driving it or leading it in a way that isn't conducive for its members. So sometimes sometimes I think that I'm harder on dogmatic religion than other times, and prayer and that kind of stuff. But I think that one thing we have to separate the two, separating prayer from religion. For me, that they're not the same thing. You learn one and the other, but they're not the same thing. You know, religion is a dogma. It's an institution. It's the first versions. Historically, they're the first versions of corporations. They're the first versions of corporations, religion. The first versions of marketers were religions. I mean, these were religions creating a sustainable government for themselves, a historic attempt to keep people ignorant, to keep people separated, to keep them from talking to each other, from being empowered, and you see that to this day under the ruse and under the guise of empowering you, they actually disempower you tremendously. They disempower you tremendously. The reasons why there are support groups for people who have left religious organizations, the reason there are support groups for that isn't because the religious organization empowered them so much that they just have to, they need support for all the empowerment they have. No, the reason they have support groups is because it disempowers you to a point sometimes that you are actually crippled and inept in your ability to move forward unless you hear from other people who have also escaped the dogma. So sometimes I feel like I might be harder on it than others, but I never lament it. I'm never sorry about it, whether I receive a death threat or death threats or not. I'm never sorry about it. I'm speaking my mind. I'll never be sorry for speaking my mind. If it hurts people's feelings, then I know that it had an impact in some place. If it wouldn't hurt your feelings to the degree it does if you didn't think part of it was true. It's only when someone says something, if someone says something ridiculous to you and nothing, no part of it's true, it doesn't bother you. It doesn't bother you at all. But it's when they say something that even a little part of it's true, that's what gets you. So if you're upset about what I'm saying, then you have to know that some of it's true. And all that I'm trying to do, and this is where the idea of the concept of prayer comes in, all I'm trying to do is to give you an updated, empowered version of your spiritual experience, your human experience, your spiritual journey, whatever it is you call it, even your religious journey, just to give you an updated, empowered version of it. That's really all I seek to do. And you can take this to your church. You can take this idea to your temple. Take it to whatever it is that you go. The problem is, and this is just a byproduct. The problem is, once you start being empowered, and you upgrade your idea of empowerment, it's kind of hard to return to those places. That's the problem. It's not that I'm trying to get you out of it. Go to it. I know plenty of people that go. Go. I have no problem with it. I'll never fight the church. That's silly. But I would love you to be empowered and to structure it in your life in that way. You know, prayer, you know, it's the old ideas. It's something that's never changed anything. It's the old idea. So you have prayer and meditation, and you have all these, the past 20 years that was all about, I'm getting to know I'm on a spiritual journey, man, and I just really think that we should be mindful of our spiritual essence, man. And what ends up happening is the gurus and the churches are loving this because you're throwing it away. So instead of them saying, hey, this is how you help your monetary, your financial situation, this is how you keep your car, this is how, you know, I told you I was preaching years and years and years ago. I'm preaching about abundance while they're repossessing my car. And then what do you do when you feel that stress? You go back, man. You gotta pray. The problem is you're too attached to that money, man. It's not that they're taking your car that matters. What matters is that you care that they're taking your car, man. They're doing you a favor. They're doing you a favor by taking your car. You know? And so, and instead, you start realizing it makes so much sense. And you're like, yeah, I shouldn't care about finances, man. Money doesn't have me. Money's about the world, man. But what you don't realize is this guru is charging you money. This church is charging you money. They call it a tithing. Oh, I'm tithing 10%. I'm tithing. And when I tithe, I'm welcome to this and that. When I tithe, I'm in good standing with God. I'm in good standing with the church. Isn't it funny that when it's church, it's called tithing? When you have to pay when you have to pay to be in good standing in church, it's called tithing. Everywhere else in the world, it's called a membership fee. So you're paying a membership fee, but since it's a church, it's called tithing. It's the same thing. If you don't pay it, they don't like it. Some churches, if you don't pay it, you're not allowed back. You're not allowed into the members-only exclusive areas. That kind of stuff. So I want to just give an empowered version. So instead of saying, oh, I'm praying and meditating, it makes me feel better. Man, it changes the energy, man. So that's great. And it may very well change the energy. And that's beautiful. And I could give you 1,000 reasons why praying is fantastic for you. And why meditation is fantastic for you. And why you will absolutely feel better when you pray and you meditate. I'm not going to argue that at all. I think that's an amazing thing to do. However, when you're drinking alcohol, you have stress and you go to the bar. You feel less stressed when you're drunk, right? Because it numbs the areas that feel stress. So, yeah, you feel less stressed. The alcohol works in that same sense. It anesthetizes the pain you're feeling. No problem. You don't want to drink alcohol? Then go pray and meditate. And that's also fine. It's a much healthier thing to do than go out and drink alcohol. But what they're doing is similar things. They're anesthetizing the pain. You feel numb. There's actual physical reaction when you're praying and you're meditating. Studies have shown from numerous universities and neurophysiological tests that you actually decrease blood flow to the amygdala. The amygdala is where you're feeling your stress. And, yeah, so you actually are numbing the area. Just like you would with alcohol, you're numbing it with prayer and meditation. It's a much healthier thing to do. Keep doing it. And, man, maybe you are changing the energy, man. But let's be real and recognize it's not energy that's causing you stress. So you could change the energy all you want. You're still going to receive a bill for money that you can't afford. And that's what I'm saying. You could change the energy all you want, but energy isn't what's causing you stress. Energy's never gotten anyone kicked out of their house. Your house isn't being foreclosed because of the energy. That's not how it works. And if it's all about energy and goodwill and all this stuff and the money isn't what's important, then why are these churches demanding it of you? Why are these gurus demanding it of you? Why is that? Why are they playing mental, emotional, psychological tricks on you? I think that's what I'm trying to do. I know I have some great friends, people I absolutely love from top to bottom, who go to churches. I love it. I'll talk to you about it. I'll even go. I don't have a problem with the idea of going to church in an empowered way. I just want to get past that dogma that you're believing the same stuff they told you in the year one. You're believing ideas and formulas and ceremonies handed to you from people who didn't know where the sun went at night. They thought the earth was flat. They didn't know where the sun went at night. So I just want to give people an empowered view of their prayer, an empowered view of their prayer. How does your life change when you have an empowered view of prayer, when prayer becomes a verb? And it all comes down to this. I said it years and years ago, and it's in the book I wrote when I was 20 years old. The language of the universe, is action. This God is deaf to your words. I said that when I was 20, 17 years ago. The reason I am where I am now is because I didn't fall to my knees and beg for something that my Creator gave me the power to get for myself. That's why I'm here, and the reason you're still frustrated, the reason you're still feeling that you need to pray more and you're not praying right and all this other stuff and God isn't happy with you and all that stuff, is because you're saying a prayer that nobody's heard. But you're using words. And haven't you noticed yet that nobody's listening to your words? Not even you. All the times you've said, oh, that's it, New Year's resolution, I'm going to lose those 10 pounds. And no, you're not. Just like you haven't. In the past 10 years, you've been saying the same thing. You don't even listen to your words anymore. So that's what I'm trying to do. And sometimes, yeah, sometimes I might seem like I'm attacking the church. And sometimes I am. Do I think I do it too much? No. Some people think I do it too much. Most people who listen to the show don't think I do it enough. But I'm not trying to ostracize people who are listening who go, keep going. I think that's great that you go. But do yourself a favor and recognize that whatever church you belong to, the origins and foundations of the ideas that inspired that church are profound and powerful. And the version you're getting in church are disempowered and manipulative, not because people are evil. Well, maybe because people can be evil. But not specifically because of that. But because it is a business and they need you to stay there. It's a business and they need you to stay there. And if you look in the past, you know, what the church has done and the marketing-wise has been genius. You take a church, let's say they take the Christian church. You take a church and they almost literally go against everything Jesus, the man they're named after, almost everything Jesus said not to do, they do. And almost everything Jesus said to do, they don't do. And somehow roped you in with an incredible marketing plan that's been going on for a couple of thousand years. They roped you in, and they got you to see a picture. They got you to see a picture of this journey to God. Instead of making you complete and having you be born complete, as every scripture says, they have you born sick, born in trouble, and you're on a journey to God. How many times have you heard that? I'm on a spiritual journey, or I'm on a spiritual journey, man. How many times have you heard that? You've heard it so many times. So they create this idea, this path to God, and you're on a journey to God, and they create almost a visual for you from right now that you're on this road to God. And then conveniently along the way on this road, they set up some toll booths. they set up some toll booths. And in order to continue, you gotta pay the toll. And this whole time, the only thing I'm saying is that it's wrong. The foundation of it is wrong. You're not on a journey to God. You are on a journey with God. And that's why most people who are on a journey, I'm just looking for him. I was on a journey to find this, a journey. You never actually get there. What do you end up doing? I ended up finding myself, man. Yeah, because that's where it all is. So the only thing I ask is, how does your life change if you stop thinking you're on a journey to God and start thinking that you're on a journey with God? How does your life change whether you think that you're looking for the tools you need to change your life? How does your life change when you realize you're not broken, that you don't need to keep trying to fix yourself, but instead you have every tool within you you need to fulfill your purpose? How does that journey get further enhanced when you realize maybe I need to stop pointing fingers at everybody else? And I need to fix my own stuff. Prayer, lack of prayer didn't make me make bad financial decisions. Lack of meditation didn't make me make bad financial decisions. So why more prayer and more meditation would help me fix something that they didn't create? Realize that that's irrational thinking, and that's why you keep doing it and nothing ends up changing. That you have to accept the responsibility, say, oh, wow, I did some stupid things. I'm learning from them. I did some stupid things. I did some short-sighted things. I did some immature things. Wow, sometimes, you know, you could beat yourself up a little bit. Don't kill yourself, but beat yourself up a little bit. Wow, I could be such an idiot sometimes. I need to un-idiot myself sometimes. I need to think things through. I need to know what I want, and I act accordingly. These are good, healthy conversations to have with yourself. You don't beat yourself up. You don't beat yourself up. But you also don't let yourself off by saying, oh, well, you know, it's all part of my journey, man. And whether it is or it isn't, you have to own responsibility for it. And to the degree that you accept responsibility is the degree that you can change it. So you are having troubles with your bills. You can pray and meditate all you want. And yes, they will make you feel better psychologically and physiologically. And I think that's wonderful. But until you get up and accept, well, I have these bills because I did stupid things. Or maybe you didn't do stupid things. I have these bills because I had a job at the time and now I don't. I lost my job to no fault of my own. Whatever it is, regardless of what it is, as soon as you recognize that it is up to you to fix it, I need to get three jobs and get three friggin' jobs. I need to do whatever it is you need to do, but that's how you're going to fix that problem. The only way to fix a money problem is with money. The only way to fix that, you can say, and I know it becomes popular, oh, you know, there's a spiritual solution to everything. Of course. There's also, if you want to look at it that way, there's also an alcoholic solution to everything. There's a drug solution to everything. Oh, I feel so stressed out. So take some drugs. The doctors will give you drugs in a second. I promise you, you won't feel stressed out anymore. Is that the solution? No. If you hate living paycheck to paycheck and prayer and meditation makes you feel good, better about it, but you're still living paycheck to paycheck, you're still living less than paycheck to paycheck, you're losing your house, you're losing your family, you're losing your mind, you're losing your thing, is that the solution? Anesthetizing yourself? Being taught by somebody who isn't doing that, by the way. Who isn't doing that, by the way. You're being told by churches and gurus, oh, don't worry, then release your attachment to the material. If you have to let go of a car, let go of a car. If you have to let go of a home, let go of a home. All right, good point. You first. How about you let me into your church, you let me have this stuff, but you give up a couple of your churches. You give up a couple of your temples. You give up a couple of your amenities. How about your next book you write, you just give out for free. You do what Steve Maraboli does. Give away 100% of the proceeds to your book. You first. You lead the way, oh great gurus. And you'll see how quickly they'll have some sort of spiritual excuse for that. Folks, the only thing I want to do is empower. If along the lines of empowerment, the norm, the old dogma is challenged and gets beat up a little bit, then I'm doing my job. My job is to empower, and I'm not owned by anything. I'm not owned by anything, so I can take on everything. I'm not trying to play nice with anybody. The only thing I feel a loyalty to The only thing I feel loyalty to is my family, and that's all you. That's the only thing I feel loyalty to. I don't feel loyalty to anything else. So if I think that what you're saying is nonsense based on my observation, then I'm going to call you on it. And that's what I'm doing. And some people are uncomfortable about it. Do I do it too much? Some people think I do. Do I do it too little? Some people think I do. I'm just going to do it to the degree that I want to do it. I believe that we live in a power and a time of empowerment, a time of community, a time of love, of relationship. And I'm going to participate in all of that unapologetically myself. Just like I ask you to be unapologetically you, I'm going to be unapologetically me. I'm going to call bullshit when I see it. No matter how big the organization may be, no matter how spiritual the person may seem, I'm going to call bullshit. Because you're not living it, you're just saying it, and you're leading people down a path you won't go down. And that's not me. Never has been me, never will be me. Thank you so much for your feedback. This show's flying by. I'm going to take some more feedback when I get back. I need to grab a quick little drink. You're listening to Empowered Living Life, the Truth, and Being Free. I'm your host, Steve Maraboli. I want to play a little Dr. King. I'm kind of sick of all the commercials. We need to make new commercials. Are you guys sick of them too, or is it just me? I don't know. I think we need to make new commercials. But let's play a little Dr. King. You're listening to Empowered Living. We're back in 3 minutes and 13 seconds. We'll be right back.
John, if you and Bernard happen to be around when I come to the latter day, in that moment to cross the Jordan, I want you to tell them that I made a request. I don't want a long funeral. In fact, I don't even need a eulogy more than 1 or 2 minutes. I hope that I will live so well the rest of the day. I don't know how long I'll live, and I'm not concerned about that. But I hope I can live so well that the preacher can get up and say he was faithful. That's all. That's enough. That's the sermon I'd like to hear. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. You've been faithful. You've been concerned about others. That's where I want to go from this point on the rest of my day. He who is greatest among you shall be your servant. I want to be a servant. I want to be a witness for my Lord. Do something for others. And don't forget in doing something for others that you have what you have because of others. Don't forget that. We are tied together in life and in the world. And you may think you got all you got by yourself. You know, before you got out here to church this morning, you were dependent on more than half of the world. You get up in the morning and go to the bathroom and you reach over for a bar of soap, and that's handed to you by a Frenchman. You reach over for a sponge, and that's given to you by a Turk. You reach over for a towel, and that comes to your hand from the hands of a Pacific Islander. And then you go on to the kitchen to get your breakfast. You reach on over to get a little coffee, and that's poured in your cup by a South American. Or maybe you decide that you want a little tea this morning, only to discover that that's poured in your cup by a Chinese. Or maybe you want a little cocoa, that's poured in your cup by a West African. Then you want a little bread, and you reach over to get it, and that's given to you by the hands of an English-speaking farmer, not to mention the baker. Before you get through eating breakfast in the morning, you're dependent on more than half of the world. That's the way God structured it. That's the way God structured this world. So let us be concerned about others because we are dependent on others.
Hey, welcome back. You're listening to Empowered Living Life, the Truth, and Being Free. I'm your host, Steve Maravoli. For more information about what we're up to, check out abettertoday.com. You can check out stevemaravoli.com, or you can check out Empowered Living Radio for every single show we have ever done. I also want you to make sure you check out our Facebook, our Twitter, our YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Pinterest, and I think that's the main ones. The main ones. I have a blog. And that's it. That's the main ones. A couple of books, Life, the Truth, and Being Free, and The Power of One. 100% of those books' sales go towards our programs that we have running all over the United States and 46 other countries. Keep a lookout. Coming very, very soon. If you're listening to this in the archives, you might already be out for the first time. La Vida, La Verdad, y Ser Libre. Steve Maravoli book in Spanish, baby. I'm super excited. Going to already has picked up a tremendous audience in Central South America, and just within days will be ready and released here for the Hispanic community in the United States. So super excited about that. It started out as a direct translation of Life, the Truth, and Being Free, but this is a perfect example. Because those ancient languages, you know, Latin-based Romance languages like Spanish, a lot of what I said in Life, the Truth, and Being Free wasn't translating right, because their concept and view of spirituality is so disempowered that the word empowerment didn't even really exist when we first set out on this. And the idea of translating, harness the power of today and free yourself from the shackles of misery, those type of ideas, nobody speaks like that. So after getting the direct translation of Life, the Truth, and Being Free about over a year ago, I started looking at it, and before signing off on it, I figured, let me read this. And I said, wow, this isn't what I'm saying at all. This is good, but this isn't what I'm saying. I want it to be exactly what I'm saying. So, you know, with a busy schedule, and again, keeping in mind that this isn't what I do for a living, it took almost a year to get the book word for word translated. Not word for word, I'm sorry, essence for essence translated. So it was like I had to write a whole new book just in Spanish. And nothing like this exists. And that's the feedback in Central and South America. Many countries, it's already getting knocked around in the bestseller categories in several countries, because nothing like this exists. And it's pretty interesting, because in those countries, and some of those countries, they're considering me a poet. They're considering it a book of poetry, because it's just not, you know, they don't do self-help industry like we do self-help industry. It's actually a pretty interesting dynamic. But they consider it a book of poetry and empowering poetry and spiritual poetry that, so I'm super excited for that. And again, that book gets added to the list of books that 100% of that goes to our programs, and things like Soulmate, it's something like Soulmate, which is poetic and beautiful in English. You could imagine what that sounds like in Spanish. So I'm excited for that. I'm also excited to tour and speak in that. I can give this show in Spanish if I like. A few people know this that I know other languages, and Spanish is one that I'm very commanding, and I could do a whole show, a whole seminar in Spanish, and it'll be done as flawlessly as I do them in English. So it'll be a lot of fun to add that dimension to what we're doing. Check out our stuff. Also excited that we're now in collaboration for a what started out to be a TV type show, but as you guys could imagine, I didn't really want to do a a Steve Maraboli TV show because that's just not me. But instead, we've kind of come to an agreement with some major companies that to have a show that more resembles the type of show I would want, that is empowering, that's somewhere across between live seminars with the feedback stuff that I do on YouTube, with general conversations and observations about life and stories about other people who are empowering, something more along the lines of what I would want, the celebration of the human potential instead of just the celebration of me, which I would think is ridiculous. So look for that in the future. We might do some test runs on, or test ideas on our YouTube channel for that and see how those run. So I'm excited about that. And again, all that stuff will be delivered to you 100% free because that's how I roll, baby. All right, we're doing a feedback show, feedbacks at AOL Instant Messenger. The screen name is ABT Radio Show. That's one word, ABT Radio Show. You could also feedback through our website, empoweredlivingradio.com. That's empoweredlivingradio.com. Let me find something good here. Vincent's in San Diego, and Vincent writes, see, after authoring your own books and speaking to some of the world's greatest authors, do you ever find yourself not looking to read more books, but instead find other avenues of ways to inspire yourself? Thank you so much. Yeah, that's a great question. Yeah, I do find myself reading a whole lot less. For a bunch of different reasons, Vincent, or reasons that I told you earlier, a lot of the stuff isn't practical, unfortunately. Unfortunately, a lot of it isn't practical, and not totally to the cause of the author. Another thing that I learned in this industry is that the author, you think that you're getting a book that's just penned by the author, and that's actually pretty rare. The author sends a manuscript, and then editors, based on marketing and all these other kind of things, they kick it back and forth. Some they rewrite. And then by the end, the author has really collaborated with a group of people. And then they, because the author belongs to a publishing company, they finally agree on the final product that you get. So that's something that I learned. So that kind of takes away. That's why sometimes folks, we might get an author on the show and they don't seem as in line with their book as you would think. And that's the reason why that seems a little off. It's because sometimes they get overridden because, again, publishing companies, it's they're running a business. They're running a business, and their business isn't to make you feel better. You would think it would be, but it's not. Their business isn't to heal you or make you feel better. Their business is to get you to buy the book. That's what they want. They don't care if you read it. They want you to buy it. So that's why you're seeing everything from fancy book trailers to killer marketing strategies and plans to those type of things, or if you buy this, you get a free download of this. It's all part of big publishing companies and how they market it, and they just want you to buy the book. Whether you read it and it helps you, that's your thing. They just want you to buy it. They're running a business, and you can't blame them. They're running a business. But that does, you know, dilute that point. And then I'm very blessed in the sense that I'm surrounded by some pretty amazing people, so I don't have to necessarily read their book. I can just pick up the phone and give them a call. So it's pretty simple. And I'm glad in my own publishing company that I didn't have to do that. Nor would I ask anyone who would be in my publishing company to have me or my team rewrite their words. Their stuff will go out just as they wrote it. So thank you so much. Let's keep going. More feedbacks. Kind of similar along the same line. Kathy's in North Carolina, and Kathy writes, Hey Steve, do you feel that most authors aren't really what they say they claim to be. How does that work? You seem like you are skeptical on authors and the way that they are in real life. I've heard you mention this before. Thank you. We love you. So, first, I love you too. Second, no, not most of them. I mean, well, let me take that back. Hold on. How do I word this most accurately? It's not that, yes, I would say most of them are not exactly what you're reading. Most of them are not that way. There has been few, a handful in my, how long has this show been going on? 5 years, 6 years, 7 years, 8 years? I don't know, however long this show has been going on. I've met hundreds, literally hundreds of authors of spiritual books and that kind of stuff, and that's what we're talking about the most. And I would say a handful of them were, to me, legit. That's the way they live. If I'm talking to them on the show, they sound a certain way. And if I'm talking to them not on the show, just on the phone, they sound the same way. A handful of them. The majority are full of it. The majority are full of it. They're playing a character. They're playing a role. And also their marketing company has sold them this idea. You know, they might be talented writers, and the marketing company is like, no, listen, we'll clean you up a little bit and give you this aura of, oh, and we'll make sure that your meditation CDs go out at the same time, and we'll make sure we take some cleverly taken pictures so you look awfully spiritual, and that's it, and we'll create this persona. And most people aren't going to look into you at all. They're not going to get to know you at all. And that's better for us. And they'll do that. And the majority of them are that. I hate to say, the majority of them are that. But I'm grateful that there's a handful that aren't like that. There's a handful of people who are. I mean, they're straight up who they say they are. The person you hear on the radio show is the person you hear when they're not there. And so I'm grateful. Instead of being angry that the majority are full of it, and they're people that you're allowing, what grits me wild is that they're people that you're allowing into your soul. Like, these are people you're letting their writings touch your soul and guide your family and the way you do things. Meanwhile, if you knew these people in real life, you wouldn't let them into your living room, never mind into your soul. I wouldn't buy a used car from most of these people. But instead of being too angry on that, I feel so blessed that I have picked up a handful of who I consider colleagues and friends that are absolutely the real deal. And they live and breathe. They live and breathe what they write. And for me, that's something I identify with, and I love that. So, yeah. Yes, the answer to your question. And I do, and it doesn't mean that I don't have them on the show. It doesn't mean that. It means that I also remember that I'm a host of a radio show. So when somebody is on, I'm not going to be disrespectful to them. They didn't come on to the Debate Steve Maraboli show. They're not coming on for that. They're coming on to Empowered Living Radio to talk to my audience. I'm not going to argue with them. I'm not going to debate them. Even if what I think they say is ridiculous, you're not going to know that I think it's ridiculous. I'm going to say thank you so much. This is fascinating. This is their website. Go out there and let other people know about what this author is doing. You're not going to know that I think what they're saying is nonsense, because that's not what this show is. This isn't the Debate Steve show. This is the share your talent. This is like a talent show. This is a share your talent show, and I'm not going to do that. And plus, you know, I don't think for you. I think for me. So I'll continuously have some guests on. I'm going to have more and more of the guests who I really I love having on because I love hearing what they have to say. But some guests are going to sneak in there that maybe I'm not fully in agreement with, but it isn't my show. I'm the host. This is your show, and I'm the host. So I never lose sight of that. So thank you so much for your feedback. Let's see. It's do we have enough time? I guess we have a little more time. Feedback today. Well, instant messenger. The screen name is ABT Radio Show. That's one word. ABT Radio Show. Let's go with Lizette. And Lizette's in Florida. Lizette says, "So wait, you would have cameras follow you around? I didn't think that you would do something like that. That's really funny. And I tell you, I wouldn't miss a second of that show. But how do you feel about that?" No, Lizette, no. No, I'm not going to have cameras follow me around. The initial idea for a show that I was approached on for Discovery Channel was that. Oh, we'll have cameras follow you around. And I said, you know, here's the thing. I'm really not that interesting of a person. Like, I'm not cameras follow me around guy. I come to my office. I sit and answer emails and talk on the phone. I leave to go get pizza or something, and then I come back. And that's really, you know, and then if I'm going to do a lecture somewhere, I get there and I give a lecture, and then I talk to a couple people and I leave. There's really not excitement to watch anyways. And I said, oh, no, well, that's great, Steve. What we'll do is on your way walking to the pizza place, we'll arrange that you happen to come across somebody who just needs a little motivation or a little inspiration or a little insight on their life. And I said, well, that's not real, though. That hasn't happened. That hasn't happened. And at no point in time when I'm walking to the pizza place did somebody stop me to tell me some need some life changing. That's not the way that it happens. And I would hate for people to think that it's like that. That wouldn't be real. And that's not the kind of show I would want. So instead, there will be a little cameras here and there, probably in the studio during a show like this, or maybe at the desk, like I said, at the desk, like, you know, like I've done the listener feedback on the YouTube channel. It would be something like that. They might do a feedback from a listener or something like that, and maybe some voiceover stuff and some seminar stuff. We'll see how it pans out, but I really want to make sure that it finds that balance that, while I'm the messenger and I'm delivering that message, that it's something that inspires you to recognize the human potential, your potential, and not just mine. I don't mind if you're like, oh, that Steve dude's awesome, and he reminds me that I'm also awesome. That I don't mind. But if you're saying, oh, that Steve dude's awesome, and I want his books and his CDs, and I'm going to, then that would be against what it is I'm actually trying to do. So I love and appreciate when you think I'm awesome, but I would love and appreciate even more if the thought that follows that is, and he reminds me that I am also awesome, and that would be the ideal show. So let's see how it goes. You'll be surprised to hear that they find me difficult to have a come to terms with. They think how many times I've heard, Steve, you just got to play the game. This is how it goes. And how many times I said, I'm not playing a game. This is real. This is going into people's minds and into their eyes. And this is very real. I don't consider that a game. And I'll hear, Steve, has anyone ever told you you're difficult to negotiate with? Yes, everybody. And I love it. I'm never going to stop. That's it. People, they trust you. And I think that that's something you should take very seriously. When people trust you and place their trust in you, you should take that very, very seriously. And I do. So we'll see what that happens. Like I said, we'll probably do some test runs on the YouTube channel. They'll be clearly marked with, you know, whatever the show name might be. Hey, what do you think a show name would be? I'll ask you. Email us. Email us through the feedback thing or through the email address at empoweredlivingradio.com. What do you think a show like that would be called? the Steve Maraboli Intergalactic Guru Show. the whole show. Can you imagine? I think a great name of the show would be some sort of tagline. We'll have to think. The Intergalactic Guru. Oh, you guys are good. You guys are sending some funny stuff and some good stuff on feedback, but also send it to the email address at Empowered Living Radio. You can send it through to the staff email address, or you could just send it through the feedback, and it'll go to the same place. So go ahead and do that. We're past an hour, right? I'll take another some more feedback. Feedback today, well, Instant Messenger, the screen name is ABT Radio Show. That's one word, ABT Radio Show. Michelle, where you at? I don't know where Michelle's at. Michelle didn't follow the rules. I just know it's Michelle. And Michelle says, it's always great to see when you go speak somewhere, people write such positive things. You had previously mentioned that the way that you keep yourself grounded was having family around. I'm curious if you still feel that that's the way to keep yourself grounded. It appears to me that you have quite the following and can be easily taken as a guru yourself. How do you keep that guru mindset out of your own life? And I appreciate you, admire you, and wish I could give you a big hug, Michelle. Thank you, Michelle, and I wish I could give you a big hug, but I don't even know where you're from because you didn't follow the rules, kid. You didn't follow the rules. But how do I keep? I have great family and friends, and believe me, they keep me grounded. Great family and friends, and they keep me grounded. And again, I'm also very well aware of the impact that I have on people's lives. But I keep aware. I'm under no delusion that it is in fact me. I believe that I feel so blessed that I'm so gifted in my ability to relay a message. However, all I'm doing is reminding people of something they were created to be. I'm not putting it in them. I'm not building it up in them. I'm not doing any of that. What I am doing is reminding them of something that they forgot. Either they forgot it along life's batterings, or they were married to somebody or dating somebody or related to somebody who told them they weren't enough so many times that they started believing it. So they come across somebody like me who is living it, who's enjoying it, who's laughing at it, who's taking the things that people take so seriously, the manifestations of blah, 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 and laughing at it and saying, hey, this is how life goes, and life does this, and life does that, and it happens to all of us. And saying, well, this is what you do, and yes, you've been through tough times, but you're still here. And the things, whatever it is that I say that connects with them, that makes them feel great, I'm under no delusion. I know that it makes them feel great. And as Sigmund Freud taught us, sometimes there's a transference. So people say, you know, whenever this guy talks, I feel amazing. And your brain is quick to create a connection. So your brain and all your emotions in your brain, and suddenly you're like, I love the way I feel when I listen to this guy. It turns into, I love this guy. And he's amazing. And he's this. And that's great. And believe me, I'll take it all. However, I'm under no delusion. I know that it's you, what you're loving is that what I'm saying is reminding you that you love you. That you love you. And you're seeing it and hearing it because you have it in you as well. So I always keep that in mind. I'm under no delusion of that. So that's how I keep focused. And again, like I was saying about that TV show stuff, I live a pretty simple life. I believe in that. I believe in living a simple life. I believe in, you know, going to work and go play soccer and, you know, BS with your friends. And but I don't live in an extravagant manner. I don't live in a superstar lifestyle. I don't do that. If I go and I speak somewhere, I make sure that I stay in the type of room I would have stayed in years ago. The limousine doesn't pick me up. I don't do any of the stuff. Just because it's offered to me doesn't mean I take it. I don't do any of that stuff. I keep myself grounded. And it's not, you know, when I talk to some of my friends who are famous, and they say, oh, no, man, that's just a part of it, and you're missing out, and this. They don't realize how lost they get into that. How lost they get. Now when they go somewhere and you ask them, hey, how was your trip? Well, the car was not the hotel room. The jacuzzi wasn't as powerful as I liked them to be. And I'm like, here you are in this incredible life, and you become so blinded by these silly luxuries that your answer to how was your trip, like people paid to bring you to a different state and then treated you like a king while you were there. And before mentioning any of that gratitude, you're saying that a jacuzzi wasn't the way you like it. That's, I don't ever want to be like that. So I keep it simple. And by keeping it simple, not only do I stay connected with everyone else, but at the same time, I'm grateful for everything. I'm grateful for everything. And I like that. For me, that's a full way of living. The rest just all that extra luxurious stuff, that just helps you tell lies to yourself, as far as I'm concerned. So that's how I keep it. And I also what I like to do, I think this is important. Not only do I say that I believe this is a family show and that everyone on here are friends, I live that way too. And I answer as many emails as I can. A lot of listeners of the show have become my friends, and not just me saying, oh, you're my friends. I mean, you're my friends. I mean, I'll hang out with you, and we'll talk, and we'll BS, and we'll email, and we'll text, whatever it is. And I mean it. And that helps also remind me that I'm on a team, and that there is no guru here. There's no master here. There's the dude with the microphone, because somebody's got to be holding the microphone. But it's not structured that way, and I love that. I love that about this show, and I love that about our community. So thank you so much. Do we do more feedback, or do I go get lunch? What do we do? One more feedback. How about one more? The reason I'm looking at a lot of these are repetitive, and I don't want to bore anybody. So let's do. Let's do one more. People are trying to start a fight over here. Hey, this is Jonathan. Hey, Steve, can you be more specific about which churches you believe in, which ones you don't believe in? How have you come to this determination? I would love for a modern day war on the churches, and who better to start one than you? Would love your input. Thank you so much. So, no, I mean, to even have a war is silly as far as a war on church. That's silly. So I think that no specific religion. I think that that's even silly. I think that the greatest religion is within you. The truth within you, everything is within you. Everything else is diluted. That's what I think. If the second there's a building put up, it's diluted. But I feel that, you know, I feel that about most things. I don't. It's not just that I don't play well with organized religions, let's say, or don't you see? Like, there's a pattern here. I don't play well with publishing companies. I don't play well with others in general, because I just have this idea of our humanity, and I want to put that. I think that we should put that first, and that falls into conflict with almost every organization. I don't like charitable organizations. I think I mentioned that in one of the shows that we were talking about my mom and her cancer. I don't like non-for-profit organizations. The second that I see that you're a 501c3, which here in the United States is the tax code for non-for-profit, the second I see that you're a non-for-profit, I'm already disinterested. I'm already disinterested, and I'll tell you why. It's not that there's not, and I, you got to be cautious. And I forgot what your name was that wrote this. You don't want a war in the church. I mean, that's to have a conflict is ridiculous. To have a conflict makes you know better. Your agnosticism or your atheism at that point has become your dogma, and you're willing to fight for yours just as they're willing to fight for theirs. So that's ridiculous. I'm for empowering people. What that does to them, it doesn't. I will never tell somebody leave a church. That, why would I do that? That's silly. What I will tell them is, you are powerful. You are incredible. You can change your life. Your forgiveness is within you. The love is within you. Paying somebody to go to their building, God is no more in that building than within you. I would rather empower you. And if that leads you to not go to church, or if that leads you, then that's your decision, not mine. I want to break out of that illusion or delusion that you feel that that's where it's going to come from. It's not your design, and nor is it in those ancient scriptures that these churches base themselves on. The last thing they want you to do is actually read these things, because as you read, I was reading Penn and Teller. Penn Jillette is the part of the comedy team of Penn and Teller, and he had a quote that was it was really funny. I was seeing him on an interview, and he said, "For me," he said, "I want people to read the Bible." He said, There is no greater tool, and Penn Jillette is a famous, he's famous for his atheism. He said, there is no greater tool to make somebody an agnostic or an atheist than the Bible. I would rather them not listen to me, but instead read the Bible and you'll become one all by yourself. Because it's impossible to actually read that Bible and then take these religious organizations seriously. It's impossible for a critical thinker to do that. For a functioning thinker to do that. So my thing is, just be empowered and be informed. Once you're empowered and you're informed, you'll see that your whole agreement with reality will change for the better. For the better for you. It may not be for the better for a church. It may not be for the better of an organization like that. But I have no loyalty to organizations. I have a loyalty to you. And I'm going to give you information that's going to make you and help you release the greatest version of your beautiful badass self. And what ramification that has in some organizations, what do I care? What do I care if somebody at the top of an organization has to worry about how they're going to pay for all their temples or their buildings or their cars or whatever the hell? What do I care? I want you to be empowered. And whatever that results in for those organizations that I've been trying to control people for years, and that's not for me. That's not something I'm interested in. So there's no specific war that I would want to start. That's silly. That's silly. I think that people should actually engage in the opposite of that, and you should listen to each other, but also be empowered to change your life and recognize that it's only going to come from within. And what was the rest of your statement? I forgot what it was, but yeah, when we can have open discussions about this, open discussions about empowerment without these ideas that you are in some way rebellious and in some way fighting the power and creating some sort of war, that's the issue right there. That's how you know they are unhealthy belief systems. If you're going to fight somebody and you need to defend and you want to, you know, enforce your ideas on somebody, then that's an unhealthy belief system. That's an unhealthy belief system. And that's that to me is no better than the worst of religious dogma. For me, I'm a humanist. I'm a humanist that's a student of Christianity. I'm a student of life and student of humanity in general. I believe in being nice. I believe in sharing. I believe in happiness. I believe in laughter. I believe in you. I believe in me. I believe in all of that. I believe in our ability to change things. I believe in your ability to get internal focus on prayer and get out external change with action. I believe in that. And I believe in love and friendships and relationships and integrity. And I believe in that. And maybe people thought that I was silly years ago when I say that. People thought I was silly years ago when I said, you know, you can live your life with integrity and still do well. You can be honest. You know, I came from business schools, and business schools, the professors would be famous for saying one thing during class, but then they'd pull aside the better students and they'd be like, listen, business is a cutthroat thing, man. You gotta do this, and you gotta have the leverage against your competitors and this and that. And I would think to myself, you know, I disagree with that. I think that you could run your business with integrity. And I remember one specific professor who was, you know, a big shot. And I went to a really nice, a prominent business school. And one of the professors said, you know, Maraboli, you're a really smart guy, but for a really smart guy, you seem to say some pretty naive things. And he was saying it in relation to what I had said to him was, I said, listen, you keep talking about competition and leverage and this and that. And sir, I think that if you run your business with integrity, you really have no competition because nobody else is doing it like that. And he thought that I was kind of being a little naive. I don't think he would think that anymore. As I've proved time and time again that's one of the only ways to successfully run a business, and it makes running your business with integrity makes a great night's sleep as well. You don't have to worry about anything like that. So I believe in that stuff, and I believe it in every aspect of your life. I believe in being open. In your business dealings and your personal dealings and your relationships and being honest, and I believe in that. If one day it inspires me to run in politics, I'll do the same there. I'm not going to stop being me to quote unquote play the game. I'm pretty sure I'm really starting to get people are really starting to think and recognize that this guy does not play the game. I've done it in the publishing industry. I've done it in the radio industry. I've done it in the writing industry. I'm doing it in the internet industry. I'm doing it in the TV industry. People are getting the point that, wow, this guy doesn't play the game. And at first, they said, what an idiot for not playing the game. I know that the publishing industry said that. What an idiot for playing a game. Now, guess what? Pay attention, folks, because you start seeing other publishing companies starting to do it. Isn't it funny how that happens? What an idiot for giving stuff away for free. Really? Look at the impact you can have when you give things away for free. Isn't it funny? And the funny part is when they copy, you see that they're not sincere, and you have learned to see them coming from 1,000 miles away. And when they do it, it's just not as sincere, and it's not as genuine. But they're trying. They're trying. And that goes true with for everything from picture quotes to emails to whatever else. You'll see them now trending and following what we've been doing for years. They're just doing it disingenuously, and you see it. But anyway, I believe in integrity. I believe in living your life that certain way. I believe in dealing with it and getting on and looking at your life and making those changes. I believe that life kicks you in the face sometimes, and you got to get up. Sometimes someone will help you up. Sometimes they won't. You still got to get up. Get up on your own. Sometimes life isn't fair. Sometimes it isn't what you want it to be. I believe in all that stuff. And at the end of the day, I believe that you are the power. You are the point of origin. You are the love of your life. You are your endless relationship. You are all those things. And the greater you are to yourself, the more honest you are with yourself, the more integrity you have with yourself, the more promises you keep to yourself, the more love you have for yourself, the more forgiving you are to yourself, the more compassionate you are to yourself, the more you are to yourself, the more you will be to someone else, and the more powerful and long-lasting and strong and resilient your relationships will be, the more resilient your businesses will be. The more you are that to yourself, the more everything you touch and create will be. And for me, there's no other way to live. And I think that'll do it for today. Folks, you're listening to Empowered Living Life, the Truth, and Being Free. I'm your host, Steve Maraboli. Make sure you check out our websites, abettertoday.com, stevemaraboli.com, and empoweredlivingradio.com. That's empoweredlivingradio.com. Get out there and make a difference today. That's all you got to do. Go out there and participate. How does your life change when you take all these wonderful ideas you have, all these beautiful feelings you have, and you let them propel you into action? It's the only way your life can look anything like you want it to look like, is to take steps towards it. Not just dream it, but to do it. Success, happiness, love, all of these things aren't something you have. They're something you experience when you live accordingly. You can't have it. You can't just want it. You have to do it. You have to be it. You have to live it. Go out there and live it. You're listening to Empowered Living. I'm Steve Maraboli. We'll see you next time.
A Better Today would like to thank you for listening to Empowered Living, Life, the Truth, and Being Free.